Roxy Shotzi.
Good morning, Tam. How are you?
This is a solo episode, so I feel so chill and I'm eating chocolate.
So jealous. That chocolate looks delicious.
Do you eat dark chocolate before you go to bed?
You know what? I noticed when I was eating it right before bed, it was harder for me to fall asleep. So if I do have chocolate, I eat it.
I think that's the tequila.
Is it the tequila or is it the chocolate?
You're like, when I'm eating dark chocolate, after I've had 3 martinis, I find it really hard to fall asleep. Are you sure? How's your drink? Have you been better with your drinking?
Yes.
Do you drink for fun?
So like, I think for fun. So usually what happens is, okay. So like usually on the weekends when you're the most social, like that's when I would be going out. So that's when I would be drinking more. So during the week, I use that as my recovery period. I use it as my recovery period and I try to not really drink during the week, but then Thursday hits and I get an itch and I'm like, damn, is it the weekend yet?
I know it's weird. Cause I've been so what they call it sober curious.
Mm-hmm.
So living a curiously living a sober life. And I probably since COVID have had, I mean, you know, massive periods of not drinking, like a year, 7 months, 3 months. And like, I had to ask myself, why do I drink? And 90% of the time of why I drink or why I did drink or why I would go for a drink is to feel less anxious or to feel less socially uncomfortable or to like feel at peace for that moment. Right. So what alcohol does is it ups your dopamine levels. So whenever you drink, more than likely the first hour to 2 hours of you drinking, you feel pretty good, right? And then you'll notice that what happens is your dopamine levels will drastically lower to levels pre you drinking. So that's why people get into fights. That's why people get super emotional. That's why people feel depressed. That's why people feel anxious, because your chemicals in your brain take a total nosedive. And so I'm just more like, I'm living in this world where it's like, I don't want to feel those feelings for the 1 hour of happiness that I get like a day and a half of feeling like crap. So I don't know if it's worth it for me anymore.
Yeah. I mean, I think that I've been a little bit like, we're seeing it a lot too. So we see it a lot on social media and there is something interesting about it because it's like, you do feel better, you know, you do feel less cloudy and you're clearer and your skin is clearer and you sleep better. And it's like, there are definitely points to that. I think, okay, if I were going to do sober curious, I might do it in the colder months because when it's, I notice when it's warmer and like hot outside, like I want to grab like a rosé and like go sit on the patio. Like that's like a harder time. I think if I was going to do it during that time here, now it's like colder and it's like people are drinking a lot more red wine, which I don't really partake in because it makes me feel so bad the next day. I think it's like interesting though. I wonder if it's like a seasonal thing, like if it's like maybe easier to do at certain points of the year versus others.
I just like the more I've delved into alcohol in general, I'm just like, wait, we've made like, it's a poison. It's a toxin. And the more like the Cancer Council just came out and said that it does have some correlation with certain types of cancers. That's what they've said, not me. So don't kill the messenger. And I'm like, it's so interesting that we've made it okay to put this poison in our body. And like, it's just readily available for everyone. And it's in supermarkets. And I mean, alcohol causes so many deaths, whether it's car accidents or like, you know, so many reckless things that happen through alcohol. But I just think that it's quite a harmful drug in many ways.
It is. And I hate the fact that like, for example, marijuana, let's say that it often gets called the gateway drug. And I do not believe that. I think alcohol is the gateway drug. You know, it's like, that is the drug that continues on and makes you want to do other drugs. When you're on marijuana, you stop there, you get a pizza, you know, and you call it a day. Like, and I think that there are some, medical benefits to marijuana as well. You know, I know like cancer patients, for example, a lot of times take marijuana to like ease pain and symptoms and things like that. So I think that there is something good about like marijuana in that sense. But I do think, alcohol somehow has had like this really great PR campaign for years and years and years. And only now, you know, people are talking about it and like the negative effects that can come from it. So it'll be,
you know, I drank a glass of wine a week ago and, I hadn't drank in a very long time. And it was the wrap of my movie. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm going to have half a glass of wine. And after three sips, I went from like feeling so elated that I finished a film to kind of feeling negative. Mm. I felt kind of sad. Mm-hmm. Whereas before I was euphoric, I felt like I was saying shit that just wasn't, I was just being goofy, which I guess is fine. Cause I don't think anyone really noticed, but I was like watching myself, even on half a glass of wine, watching myself being a different version that wasn't my authentic self.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's not me. Like, I'm not making stupid, like, sort of not rude comments, but sort of the words bolshy. I don't know if you know that word, but it's like kind of, it's not aggressive, but it's kind of intense comments to people. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just not who I am. And that's on half a glass of wine. So I can't even imagine what it's like if I had two or three, or if anyone else feels the same way I do. And they're like, was that even me? You know, like you finish the night out, you come home, you're like, I mean, that's what people say about alcohol. They get so much anxiety about what did I say? What did I do? Like, did I make a fool of myself? What are people going to think of me? Because you're not completely in control.
Mm-hmm.
And I had someone on set. It was like, yeah, when I drink, I drive all the time. And I'm like, wait, what? And I got really angry about that because I'm a mom. And I think about like all the innocent people that, you know, have had lost people from people drinking and driving. But what's the measure? Because for me, I would say half a glass of wine, I'm not making good reactive decisions. So I shouldn't be allowed to drink on half a glass of wine, but my blood alcohol limit would have been completely fine. Mm-hmm. I didn't drive, but people can drive on that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's true. Where is the limit? Because, and I think it affects like different people different ways, right? Like a 3 or 250-pound guy that drinks the same amount as like a smaller woman, like it's going to be different, but legally, you know, that whatever it is, 0.16, or I don't know the exact number.
You're like, I know the exact number.
Like what is that? But that point, that number like looks different on different people. Yeah. Right. So it's like, should there just be one standard number? Because I mean, it affects people in different ways.
And there's such, I don't know if it's because of COVID, but they're saying 40% of Americans don't drink anymore. Because
really?
They realized how much it affects their mental health. Because again, I think drinking for my anxiety is amazing when I'm drinking.
Right.
But after the fact, I feel so much worse and it takes days to feel better. So for that half a night, I lose two and a half days of feeling good. So then I would like have this, my schedule would be like, don't drink until Friday, drink two glasses on Friday, two glasses on Saturday, feel like shit on Sunday, kind of feel like shit on Monday, get back into my mental health positive regime on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I start drinking again.
Mm-hmm.
Like I have 3 days out of the entire week where I feel good.
Yeah, it is. You're right. It's like a cycle. It's like you only get you, and why shouldn't you be living the whole week and having good days every day, you know? But it's interesting. I think too, I mean, I guess some people are different, like at different like social gatherings and things like that. I mean, I feel like I'm trying to think, like if it's a work event, I'm probably like less inclined to drink just because you're doing, you know, it's for work and like, you've got other things going on. But if it's like maybe somebody's fun birthday party or like a concert or something, maybe it's a little harder not to drink, you know?
And this is not me judging people. I mean, I might go back to drinking next month, who knows, but I always ask why. Mm-hmm. So like, are people drinking because they need that release because it's the only time that they can feel free or that they're so stressed that they need some type of vice to de-stress? Mm-hmm. Like, or do they feel like they're drinking so they don't have to really get down to the parts of themselves that they have to look at, because it's so much easier to disassociate and to not look in the mirror when you're drinking, because mm-hmm. you just don't remember the pain.
Yeah.
But at some point, doesn't that come home to roost? Like, at some point, isn't it like, okay, what am I masking? And like what's the reason behind it?
Yeah, good point. I think it could be like a mix of those. And I think too, like, just our culture here, you know, like the drinking culture, like whenever you're out socially, like people are like, oh, a glass of wine or grab a beer or like whatever the, you know, drink of choice is. I think it's so like rooted in our, especially in this country, it's been rooted so deeply in our
Australia culture. Is worse. Australia is much worse.
Is it?
Oh yeah.
Oh, wow.
I mean, here I feel like you can have two or three drinks and right. that's kind of, you're done. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's a big binge drinking culture in Australia. Mm-hmm. Where it's like lunchtime, people just get very, and I know it's still here too, but it mm-hmm. feels less of the culture here. Mm-hmm. Where I, yeah, it seems like you kind of drink to get drunk. That's the point. It's not to like have a glass of wine. It's to get drunk.
It's to get drunk.
But yeah, it's just been fascinating. I mean, we can change the subject, but it's just been fascinating to look at my life through clear eyes. And mm-hmm. I would say that there's a euphoria that I've gotten by not drinking, mm-hmm. Because I'm not doing these dopamine dumps aren't happening to my brain. Like, I'm not getting these rushes of dopamine dumps and then feeling depleted. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of getting like this trickle effect in, you know. I don't think I could have done this movie and finished this movie if I was drinking, because I would probably feel really depressed. I would have had like too much dopamine too fast.
Do you think you miss it? Like, would you miss it? Like, if you were
21 days. So I, mm-hmm. so before 21 days, I go, oh, I'm stressed. I really need a drink. Mm-hmm. And that's only when, the only time I want to drink is when I feel anxious or mm-hmm. stressed. Or if I'm going out, it's not that I'm socially, it's not that I'm socially anxious. I'm anxious to be around people. It's that I don't want to panic or get nervous. So I drink, so I feel calm. Mm-hmm. And then I can like have proper conversations. But I noticed that when I go sober, it mm-hmm. takes about 15 minutes of me feeling really uncomfortable and then I feel fine.
Okay. So it like kind of works itself out a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. That's good. I mean, that's good, you know? So maybe it is a good thing to do sober curious, you know?
I mean, I had Phoenix's birthday party and mm-hmm. I normally have a birthday party and I drink at her parties, right. So I just like have two or three drinks. Mm-hmm. I always get in the car and I feel so exhausted afterwards. Like, I'm so tired and I'm so emotionally spent because it's such a big deal to get your kid's birthday party together. There's mm-hmm. so many people. I feel worn out. The next day I can't move, and I didn't drink this time and I felt fine.
Oh, wow. So you guys didn't serve alcohol at all?
We did, okay. But we didn't drink it.
Okay.
Not a lot of people did. Only a couple had a few drinks. Yeah.
Huh? Do you think it's like a geography thing? Like, do you think there maybe
it's changing? And I think as people get, I'm getting older, so I'm around people who are older. And I think once you start to get into your like late 30s, 40s, mm-hmm. I think people want it less because they want to feel good. And I think that alcohol doesn't ultimately make you feel good. I think that the narrative that it's great for your heart was, I mean, Dr. Amon mm-hmm. recently said on his Instagram that was, you know, propelled by the alcohol companies, or like that narrative, you know what I mean? It's like, it's good for your heart. I mean, so many things that are good for your heart.
Yes. And there are lots of things that I've learned are bad for your skin.
Yes. I was just about to say, let's talk about that.
Well, it's been a week, girl. I'll tell you. So I guess like maybe 2 months ago, well, backing up a little bit more, I had this sort of bump on the side of my head, which was like a small flesh colored bump. It just kind of like blended in, whatever.
Felt like a pimple?
It looked like, before it changed, it was just kind of a flesh colored bump. Like, it just kind of, I didn't pay a lot of attention to it. Like, when I'd go in for my mole checks, like, he'd look at it and be like, okay, fine, you know, and it for like 15, 20 years, it was just the same. Then about 2 months ago, I noticed that it was getting irritated and like itchy. And I'm like, oh, and it looked like it was getting like bigger, changing in size a little bit. And I'm like, what's going on here? And then I said, okay, I need to go to the dermatologist because I go in every 6 months to get my mole check. But as it turns out, because we're all busy working moms here, or busy moms, or just, you know, women who work and men who work and all that, you know, I forgot to make the appointment. I just like forgot. School was starting. I was like getting my daughter ready for school. You know, it's just all the things. And finally, like 3 weeks ago, I was like, okay, I've got to make this appointment because this thing is like now bothering me. It's itchy. Like, I want to go get it checked. So I went in there. He did the mole check. He's like, you know what? Let's biopsy it. Let's just send it off to the lab and like double check. So I said, okay, fine. So that was a Thursday, not this past Thursday, but the Thursday of the week before. Tuesday, I get a call from his office. The nurse was like, we found squamous cells in that slide, which I don't know if people know what squamous is. It's a form of skin cancer. It's not as deadly as melanoma. It's a little bit, I don't want to say on the milder
higher side. Success rate. Yeah.
Right. It's got a higher success rate. It's not as invasive and like, you know, doesn't spread as fast and all those things, which I'm grateful for. But you know me, Tammin, with my medical anxiety, Google, and I'm like going down the rabbit hole. So that was a Tuesday. And they were like, yeah, we'd like to make an appointment for you to come back in and like, we can remove it. And so I said, what do you have this week? I'm like, yeah, please give me in this week. So they got me in on that Thursday. So like 2 days after, and I had this thing called Mohs surgery, which basically they bring you in and they start cutting away layers of skin until they get clear margins.
You don't even do well with getting your blood drawn, but you're okay with this.
And to make matters worse, you're awake the whole time. And look, cutting right by the eye. I was like watching like what was happening over here to like the side of my face, freaking out. But I mean, it was fine. They deadened it first. And so basically they just keep cutting away layers of skin until they get clear margins, and they keep checking it. Like, you sit there in the office, they cut one layer.
How long?
So it was just the first go. So on the first cutaway, they found clear margins. So thank God that it was just one cut, you know, but still, I'm glad I got it done. I'm glad I didn't wait anymore.
And that's still spread, or is that done? That's
no, like, now it's gone. So now it's like cut out, and thank God, like no further treatment needed for this.
And what if you hadn't got it checked?
That's the thing. If I hadn't gotten checked, it might've spread, you know? So that's the thing. That's why, like, if anybody is listening to this, please, please, please get your mole checks. It doesn't matter how fair you are, how dark you are, what kind of skin you have. Everybody needs to get a mole check, because any shade of color, any type of skin, it does not matter, age, like you have to get your moles checked at least once a year. I mean, if not
twice. I haven't ever got them checked.
You never got it checked?
No, but I don't have moles.
But you know,
is there a difference between moles and just like freckles? Because I have freckles.
Yes. See, that's a thing. Freckles, like, so I've had in the past, I've had freckles removed that were, they're called dysplastic nevi, I believe is the correct medical term. And it's sort of like a pre starting to look a little weird. Nothing is totally developed yet, but it could change into something bad. So they cut those off of me. But I think, you know, I think anybody and everybody should get mole checked. I mean, when I say mole check, I mean like any, like, it, you know, could be a freckle, could be a mole, could be a bump, could be a pimple, could be, you know, and they
I'm looking now.
Yes. Okay. Check your boobs. Look, do you have freckly boobs?
I have one weird thing right there, but no.
Well, and come to find out after all these checks, I didn't even realize I have a freckle down there
on my vagina.
On my vagina. Yeah.
How do you not know that?
Well, I didn't know that. And then when I was in the gyno,
have you had a gray hair in your vagina yet?
I've not, but I have a freckle. I have a freckle.
You haven't had a gray hair? That's because you can't, there's no hair there.
Yeah, that's true. But
if you grew it back, there probably would be hair there.
There probably would be.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can get them even in your vagina. Just a word to the wise.
Yeah, but sun damage doesn't happen in vagina unless you're out sunbaking naked.
Yes, exactly. That's the thing too. They said that what brought this on was the UVA and UVB rays from the sun that, like,
you know. And I know you're going to say to me, like, I see you on the beach, man. I do. I see you on the beach all the time in LA drinking wine and out. And I'm like, I always think to myself, I'm like, you better be in a hat. And you're like, hey, and you're talking to me. Like, and I'm like, your face looks red. So don't give me that. You have been in the sun.
Yes. No, I have definitely been in the sun. I'm going to have to give it up now.
Yeah.
Now I have to wear, and I'm going to be religious about this, is I am going to wear sunscreen every day, and I am going to wear hats in the car. And, yeah, you know, because you get a lot of bad radiation in the car just driving, you know?
Like, everything can kill you.
Everything can kill you. And so, yeah, it was a little harrowing. I mean, I knew I was going to be okay last week, but I just,
it's still isn't it crazy that, like, a lot of our friends have all had scares. We had a friend who had a cancer scare, like, it's a breast cancer scare. Like, you know, luckily we're so blessed to have insurance that, you know, it's so sad because on my film, you know, I was talking to some of the crew and they're just like, oh, we don't have insurance. It's just too expensive. So we just don't go to the doctor. And I'm just like,
oh my God,
makes me so angry.
Yes. It's so unfair. It's so unfair. They had,
it's a human right.
Yes. It's an absolute human right. They, when I was in the office last week, one of the assistants was telling me that a girl came in the day before, 30 years old. She had been, she didn't have proper health insurance. So she was going to, like, kind of like a, you know, I guess a less like, a, I don't even know if she's actually really going to the doctor. I think she probably just went into an ER wondering what was on her face and then ended up coming to my doctor. They said her whole face had the growth, like her whole forehead was covered.
And skin cancer.
Yes. And they couldn't, she didn't do any, you know, I mean, she was 30 years old, like didn't have insurance.
So were they able to remove it?
Well, they had to, yeah, they had to do a very drastic surgery on her. Cause that's not something that's even like, you know, once it's that big and that spread,
it's just, it's human. I don't understand it. Just doesn't make any sense to me.
No, no, but it's also, I think it also goes to show, like, you should always also be really in tune with your body. Like if you notice changes and something doesn't feel right, you should go in, you know, go into the doctor.
It's funny because I read a lot of books. There's a book called The China Study, and they talk about cancer, and there's really not been anything. So cancer has to live in a perfect environment to grow. We all have cancer cells in our body, and it just depends on how it grows. And you kind of have to have that perfect storm. That's why, like, someone will smoke and drink all the time and they'll never get cancer. And then somebody who doesn't might. It's because the person who's smoking and drinking doesn't have that perfect storm for that cancer to grow. You might have to be smoking, drinking, and have a history of it, or be eating like tons of, because they've said that the only thing that has been actually directly linked to cancer cells growing out of everything that they've studied is processed meats, like ham, bologna. It's the only thing that they have been able to link to cancer scale, to cancer growing. But some people eat that all the time and they don't get cancer. Right. Again, because it has to be that perfect storm for those cancer cells to grow. So it's like, for me, I just think, try to limit the things that you can, that you know, have some correlation with cancer, like the sun exposure. And again, these deli meats. And, you know, I don't love the idea of putting my phone to my head. That seems, doesn't seem like a healthy thing for me. Eating a lot more fruits and vegetables, moving my body, not being stagnant. That seems to make a lot of sense.
Yes. And getting rest too at night, because you need that sleep to repair your body, you know, from the day and all the free radicals and all those kinds of things that have, like, entered the picture all day long.
Chat.
Yeah. That have entered the chat. So that was scary, but I am glad that, again, I'm okay and caught it early enough, and I'm grateful for that. You know,
I'm glad you're okay too. Although you didn't tell me until, like, you were getting it removed.
Cause I literally,
I'm like, hey bitch, like, what?
But can I tell you,
when you get diagnosed with cancer, can you tell me?
I did tell you first.
I don't know if you told me. You were like, I have a procedure. And I was like, what procedure? And you're like, oh yeah, that little old procedure. I'm like, yeah.
They're just going to cut my skin out. It's fine. Totally fine. Totally fine.
Yeah.
No, but I had just found out the day before. So I definitely told you within 24 hours.
Okay. Well, I need earlier.
Oh, speaking of cancer, I wanted to ask you this, because people do think he's a cancer. what about this Kanye West stuff with the anti-Semitic comments? And
it's horrific.
I mean, it's horrific, right?
And you know, it's really sad because he said that, you know, I can say anything anti-Semitic I want. Mm-hmm. And Adidas, I say Adidas, it's Australian. Adidas, I don't know what you guys, Adidas, so Adidas.
When you say
Adidas,
it.
Adidas.
Adidas.
Drop me now what? Mm-hmm. And I really think that, I know money makes the world go round, but there's a moment where you choose your moral compass, and Adidas is looking at themselves in the mirror right now. Mm-hmm. And they have a moral obligation, mm-hmm, to make a decision to cut ties with him. And if they don't, they chose money, mm-hmm, and everyone will remember that.
Yes.
And they're in a position now where the world is watching, and they were at a loss in the US financially, mm-hmm, until Kanye West's brand came on board. And now they're making $2 billion per year from Kanye West's brand. So yeah, of course it's, you know, there's definitely some emergency meetings going on right now, but it's going to have to, someone higher up is going to have to say, we choose to be better than this.
Yes. Yes. I mean, because as of our recording time today, Adidas has not said anything yet. So it will be interesting to see what they say, because they're obviously his number one sort of collaboration that he's doing. And if they don't say anything, that kind of makes them complicit, doesn't it? Like, if they don't say anything or they don't give a comment, it's sort of like, well, maybe to them that it's okay and it's acceptable what he's doing. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. I know they said that his agency dropped him today. Yeah. So there are like definitely effects going on, you know, repercussions.
There has to be repercussions.
Yes. Yes. But do you think, even with all the repercussions, just based on where he is at mentally, do you think it's going to help? Or do you think that there needs to be further, you know, like further?
I don't think it's going to change him or help in any way, but I think it's going to show the world that Adidas, I want to say Adidas so badly.
Adidas.
They were on the right side of history, you know, and it's at some point you have to make the right decision, but I don't think that's going to change him in any way. And I think he's very mentally ill, and it's, mm-hmm, sad to watch. And we as a culture keeps feeding that mental, mm-hmm, illness, mm-hmm, you know, we're giving it so much attention. That's what they say about shooters. Like, you know, in these school shootings, don't say their name, don't, mm-hmm, give them notoriety, don't show their faces, because it's what they want. It's what they feed off. And someone who is a true narcissist feeds off attention, whether it's good or bad. You feel like you're holier than thou. And that's what he needs to fuel his fire. So stop giving him the fuel.
Yeah. So you're right. And it's like, people are almost entertained by it because they open up their Instagram or their Twitter every morning and they're like, what did he do now? You know, and it's almost living like,
it, yeah.
Right. It's turned into like a form of entertainment for people. And it isn't entertaining. And I think what he's doing is really dangerous because, as you probably saw this past weekend in Los Angeles on the 405 freeway, there were, mm-hmm, people with like anti-Semitic signs, you know, doing the Nazi salute. And it's like, that is scary that is now becoming a bigger thing. And it's like, you know, people are just out in the open doing that, you know?
Just when I feel like humanity
can't get
has
worse.
Come to a better place and it can't get worse. But look, the people who are doing that are sick. Hurt people, mm-hmm, hurt people. The, mm-hmm, fastest pipeline, unhappiness is the fastest pipeline to hate. These people are uneducated.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes I don't blame the people who are doing it because I think that they're just, again, not educated enough to understand really what's going on. I blame the people that are in the positions of power that are allowing it to continue.
Yes. Yes.
You know?
And Yes. And he, you know, he puts his own narrative out. He says, oh, I'm a genius. And like, you know, says all these things.
True form of a narcissist.
Yes.
And I also think he could have both. I think he could also be a genius in certain ways and also be bipolar and mentally ill. And a lot of geniuses are. Historically, you know, a lot of Renaissance painters were mentally ill. You know, it kind of goes with the territory sometimes. Mm-hmm. But when it starts to get dangerous and we're getting to a point where we have to shut it down, mm-hmm. or the people that follow him that don't know any better, mm-hmm. are going to keep rising and we're not going to have enough ways to stop it. You know, it scares me to think what could happen. Just when I think it can't get worse, this would never happen. Mm-hmm. It just starts to get worse.
Yes, it starts to get worse. And the thing is too, people take everything he says literally, you know what I mean? So like, let's say even if he is spouting off and just trying to be like, you know, provocative or what have you, there are people who literally take his word for Bible. So it's like, he cannot be you cannot, when you are a public figure like that, with that level of, you know, following and the people that are watching you, you cannot be sloppy with your words in that way, you know, because people will take them literally, you know. Yeah. It's so scary. Hopefully.
I mean, Roxy Soxy, between my sober living, your skin cancer, Kanye West, could this episode get any more interesting?
I know. Gosh, we're just bright rays of sunshine today, aren't we?
We are, but we're going to try to get in the studio soon. So
we'll be in person together.
Finally. It's 4:46 and it's getting dark outside. Does it make you get depressed? Does it give you seasonal? I didn't really understand seasonal depression because I've been living in the sunshine between Australia and here for 2.5 years. So I was like, what do you mean cold? But like, it kind of gets dark later and I get a little sad.
Yes. I, that is like the one thing that I probably dislike the most about this season going into it, is that when it becomes dark so early, I feel like, you know, it changes your mood. It changes your mood. And it like, you know, you get like more into that like wind down mode, but it's like, you need the sun too, as much as we shouldn't be sunbathing in the sun. We do need the sun. To come through our windows to brighten our day, you know? And it is, I feel like I do get seasonal blues, I'd say.
Yeah. I was watching this TikTok and there's this place in America that's north, and they have darkness for 3 months. It's called the polar. I don't know what it's called. The polar.
Is it the North Pole where Santa lives?
He's there in the dark. I can't remember exactly what it is, but if you look it up, 3 months of darkness they have.
Wow. Three
months.
See, I could do like 3 months of straight.
But then they have 3 months of, cause I remember being in Sweden.
Yes. And they have 3 months
around winter, and it would get light at 11:30, 12:00. And by 2 PM it would be dark. But then when I was in London in the summer, it would be 11:30 at night and it would be bright still.
See, that I could do. Like, I could do like round the clock brightness, but when it gets dark, like, and there's no sun, that's just straight up depressing.
I don't like the bright though I don't like it till 11 PM. I'm like, it's time to go to bed.
No, but that means I can stay out longer and I don't feel so bad. I'm like, well, oh, it's
stay not when you're sober curious, your body tells you to go to sleep.
Good point.
This chat with you, and I love you lots, and I hope I get to see you soon. And guys, please write in and text and DM and tell us the people that you're going to want us to see and what you want us to talk about, because we love you. We do.
Yes, we love you. And don't forget to rate, subscribe, and comment on your favorite podcast app. So we
can
bringing you all the goodness.
All the goodness. And I am Tamlin Sursock.
And I am Roxamandan. Oh, we didn't tell everyone where they could find us.
I think that they know at this point. If they're listening, they're like, shut up.
Should it?
Woman on Top Official and Woman on Top Podcast, we're over it. You know what we should do? We should just record the ending so we don't have to say it anymore. We should be like, bye to our guests, and then it will kick in.
So they don't have to listen to the whole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what we're going to do. Starting next week.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Sounds good.
So my film gave me, so they give you a they give you a per diem every week, and they give it to you in the form of cash, because that's when you're supposed to buy your food and stuff like that. So I just save it, and now I've got cash that I'm going to go to Target and go spend.
That sounds like the dream. I mean, Target, you'll come away with like a nightgown, a loaf of bread, some milk, and like some like face wash. I love it, because you never know what you're going to get.
Some clips for my hair and like just random stuff.
Yes. Yeah. It's the best. You're like, what else do
Target
I need?
So great. You know, the one thing that I miss when I'm in Australia is Target.
Wait, did they not have Target?
Not like we do. It's not the same. Is it, like, it really isn't the same.
It's not, is it called Target? Like, is it?
It is called Target. Think Target 15 years ago. You know, when it was kind of like, oh, like Walmart.
Yes. Yes. And
I was like, you know, you might, if you scrounge, like if you really look for something cute, you might find something cute. Whereas now it's like, everything's cute.
Yes.
Yeah.
I hear you. I hear you. It's a
place. Think of it like Walmart. We should just call it Walmart in Australia.
Tell it what it really is. You know,
and I don't like the fact that, and I'm going to Australia and I'm very excited for so many reasons, but like last night I was like, oh, I need Nespresso pods for the morning. And I ordered it at 10:30 last night, and at 5 a.m. it showed up at my door. And I was like, I love America.
You're like,
consumerism.
Right? All about the modern day conveniences. Oh, comes right?
In a sec. I love it.
Oh, it's so easy. So easy.
So easy.
Oh, wow.
So easy. Okay, Roxy Sucksy. Love you guys. We will speak soon. I am Tamin Sursok.
And I am Roxy Mandy.
And we are... Women
on.